But first, we start with matters judicial, though. The president yesterday announcing that he is asking for nominations for people to be considered for the job of the Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court. So that person, he or she, will not only be heading up the Constitutional Court, but generally the judiciary. Benedict Peary is a legal analyst and MD of Jusprudentia Special Counsel. Benedict, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you, African. Good morning to you.
It is the first time ever, has it not, that a president has asked for South Africa's input as far as the next Chief Justice is concerned?
Yes, in this manner, certainly it is the first time ever. And I think it is to be welcomed. And I think the president's reasons are to be welcomed, especially given what has been happening in the judiciary. You know, I think a process like this will in fact build transparency and encourage public participation. And I think what's important really is just the credibility of the judiciary, which has been taking a bit of some knocks in the recent past.
I have no knowledge, though, of, I can think of one or two people I'd love to head up the Constitutional Court, but I have absolutely no knowledge of what is required, technically and otherwise, for one to be competent to head up a Constitutional Court.
So if you look at the Constitution, it sets out what is required of a Chief Justice. Firstly, it is a person who will obviously administer the courts, and set the tone for the judiciary, even from an intellectual perspective. I think we do need an ability to make sure that the Constitutional Court jurisprudence coheres. You know, of recent past, it seems that there's a bit of splinters in the thinking of the court, you know, and just generally set the tone for the administration of justice of the country. So I imagine that we'd get somebody, obviously, who has been a judge, who is a solid leader within the judicial fraternity and possibly within the public space as well. And you can see that the call for nominations also requires someone with a solid human rights record as well, and who can be backed by industry bodies within those spaces to give credence to his credentials.
It seems then, and we certainly saw this with the appointment of the Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng ahead of Judge Moseneke, who was the Deputy Chief Justice at the time, that because you are a Deputy Chief Justice does not guarantee your succession to the role of Chief Justice.
Yes, I think that is certainly the case. And certainly Deputy Chief Justice Zondo at the moment has a lot of political clout around him. So I think, you know, if that were to be the case, it's certainly something that the Judicial Services Commission, if he was part of the candidates to be recommended, would seriously consider, given what is happening around that position. But so I think in that context, what the president has actually done is actually quite commendable.
We do know that the Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng, his tenure runs out in a mere few weeks, actually, but he's been on special leave for the last several months, which is why the Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo is now the acting Chief Justice. So we also know that Raymond Zondo himself has applied for a job, as has a few hats being thrown into the ring. We do, though, have some wonderful judges, not only justices, but also in the Supreme Court of Appeal, the various high courts around the country, who would be more than competent to fill that I almost say those shoes, but wear that cape, whatever it's called, that judges wear when they go to the courts.
Yes, absolutely, Africa. I think, you know, there's a lot of judges across the country. I mean, in the Gauteng Provincial Department alone, at any point in time, that court consists of about 130 judges. And then you add the senior courts, the Supreme Court of Appeal. I think there are a lot of candidates that can really be tapped in this process. I think what also adds to, you know, the gravity is the nomination process. You know, I think it would augur to an applicant to be supported in that nomination through, you know, the Legal Practice Council or the General Counsel of the Bar or a human rights organization. You know, I think it just helps to motivate for those particular candidates in a transparent and open way.
Let me ask this philosophical question. I was watching Stephen Colbert recently, and he was speaking to one of the Supreme Court justices, Justice Saber, I think is his name, who's written a lovely book, just, you know, for the younger generations on why the Constitution is important, number one. And he referred to it as an experiment that we continue, well, they continue to grapple with and so forth. But the justice had been in the Supreme Court for 27 years. And of course, in the United States, you are appointed for life, right? It's only your either illness or death that will excuse you from duty. In South Africa, we have limited terms for the various justices in the Constitutional Court. Is our system better than theirs?
I think the jury's out on that, Africa, because, you know, we're a young democracy. And I think what the American system has done from a constitutional perspective is you see these shifts in jurisprudence and thinking, depending on the time period that the court is in and the justices that are there. I think in South Africa, you may see more radical shifts. Perhaps, you know, the jury's out. We haven't really had enough of a track with our constitutional jurisprudence, just being 25 years or so. I think from that perspective, it remains to be seen whether our system will actually make for a more robust constitutional system than the American system.
We seem to have freed ourselves from the political elements, if you like, to the appointment of the justices. In America, it's not in itself a political appointment. However, the president who appoints you definitely will determine which side of the divide, if you like, whether you're more liberal-leaning or conservative-leaning, and therefore impact on important things like the abortion laws, for example, which seems to be continuing to create havoc in the United States right now. When Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng was appointed by President Jacob Zuma ahead of Deputy Chief Justice Motsoenege at the time, many people were saying that Jacob Zuma is appointing someone who's going to be his lackey and who's going to be forgiving, if you like, of some of his transgressions. And of course, the Chief Justice has proven that to be absolutely not the truth. And at some point, it was a combination of him as well as Professor Thuli Madonsela, who seemed to be the greatest defenders of our Constitution. In the whole, we have been spared the political implications of any appointments to the Constitutional Court, haven't we?
I think that's an absolutely fair assessment. And I think Justice Mokgweng is an exceptional example in that respect. And I think, you know, the JSC plays a really key role. I think there is the question, you know, around how much influence do political party representatives on that committee have. But I think, you know, the CASAC application that has just gone through the High Court and the settlement between the JSC and CASAC in that respect, really, again, reining in the integrity of that process and sparing us of these political appointments or the seeping through of political influences on the appointment of judges as a whole.
Well, I certainly hope that the president is going to be flooded with nominations and names of people who could then occupy and wear that robe. That's the word I was looking for, worn by the Chief Justice. Before I let you go, Benedict, it's an important day in the Constitutional Court because today the Concord will be handing down their judgment on whether or not the judgment and order of the court sentencing former President Jacob Zuma to imprisonment for contempt of court is rescindable and whether it should be set aside. What outcome are you predicting?
I'm predicting that we're probably going to end up with an outcome that says that the judgment and order is not rescindable. And my reasons for this are, it's very clear that Jacob Zuma is in contempt of court. He himself admits to that in his constitutional court application. The question then is, what should the court then do with this contempt, right? You know, he says that they shouldn't send him straight to jail because this is unprecedented. But this is not correct. You know, the Constitutional Court, the High Court, the Supreme Court of Appeal have numerous judgments which confirm the principle that going to jail is a valid punishment for contempt of court, right? His biggest argument, I think, really pits judicial authority versus the exercise of fundamental human rights. And he's saying that, you know, by going straight to court, we are circumventing his right to an appeal in this instance because the Constitutional Court sat as both a court of first instance and a court of last instance and also detention without trial. Again, I think he's not going to make it because the question of the appeal would only have been relevant to the question of direct access to the Constitutional Court. And once the Constitutional Court grants direct access, it's known that that is not actually appealable. And now the question of detention without trial also doesn't actually stack up, because now if you think about what Mr. Zuma is saying, in effect, we'd end up with a paralysis on the administration of justice in this country, because you, as a participant, if you are sued, you could elect not to participate in proceedings, in the process scandalize the court, thereafter choose not to comply with the court's order, and then, after the fact, go to the court and put up a defense after the fact. You know, I think that is going to be a mountain too high to climb for Mr. Zuma today. That's my prediction. But again, I may be wrong.
Because the authority of not only the Constitutional Court, but more importantly, the Constitution is at question here, right? Because let's be clear, the former President Jacob Zuma pretty much disregarded an order of the highest court in the land based on the document that he swore allegiance to, not once, but twice as a former president, which I think gives him a greater sense of responsibility to it. And I was one of those South Africans, I must admit, who was disappointed when the Constitutional Court even agreed to hear the application for potentially rescinding and setting aside its judgment, because I want the authority of the court to be very, very clear to every single South African, whether you're a former president or a gardener, that if you break the law, no one is above the law in this country.
I agree with you fully, Africa, you know, because what we'd be effectively saying if the Constitutional Court rescinded its judgment is that, you know, individual rights, in inverted commas, are so strong as to neuter the effectiveness of an order of the highest court of the land. Yes, the judges disagreed robustly in this particular instance and very publicly, you know, but if the court had not sent Mr. Zuma to jail, there would have been no other way for its order to be effective. I mean, and that's really the crispness of it. As the majority judgment said, this would be effectively sentencing the authority and legitimacy of the judiciary to eventual decay. So I think, you know, that's a strong statement. And if you think of what Mr. Zuma was asking for, we would never have a situation where constitutional court orders are final. Busisiwe Mkhwebane rode the horse straight after President Zuma because the door had been opened slightly ajar, and I think it must be shut.
Indeed. Benedict, thank you very much. As always, your insights are most valued. Benedict Peary, MD of Youth Prudential Special Counsel and our legal analyst. The Constitutional Court, of course, making known its decision on whether or not the sentencing of former President Jacob Zuma to imprisonment for contempt of court is rescindable and whether that should be set aside. I can assure you that Cape Talk 702 and Eyewitness News will all be paying attention to the Constitutional Court today, and I'm sure we will be bringing you that judgment live. It's 20 minutes past 5.